Open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 3. We have come to one of the most hated chapters in the Bible. One of the most hated chapters in the Bible. This is the foundational chapter for all Bible doctrine. It's the foundational chapter for everything that we do as Christians. This is it. This is why we interact with Jesus Christ, why we interact with the Word of God, why we interact with other believers the way that we do, because of the events that took place here in Genesis chapter 3. I typed this, I wrote it down earlier in the week, and I thought of this. When we study what happens in chapter 3, then we're not going to be surprised that life is hard. And I wrote this down. Don't be surprised that life is hard. Have you ever noticed that people are bad? Have you ever been, you wonder, people behave in a certain way and we're shocked. I can't believe someone would act that way. Well, if you expect people to be human, you won't be so surprised when you find out that they are. That's what this chapter reveals to us. This chapter demonstrates to us the true state of all mankind. Everyone. You, me, your grandmother, that nice person that lives down the street, that really mean codger that lives, you know. Remember when you were a kid, there was that house that you kind of stayed away from because there was the mean guy with the dogs? Remember? That guy too, it helps you understand him. It helps you understand everyone. This chapter gives us that understanding. Why is life so hard? The Bible tells us right here. We also learn some things from this text. Number one, we learn, and this is not my message yet, this is the introduction, but we learn that the root source of all questioning and doubting the Bible is satanic. The root source of all questioning and doubting the Bible is satanic. Preacher, are you saying I'm satanic because I question things in the Bible? No. But what I'm saying is the first time that we find that in the Scriptures, it's satanic. Next, sin on this planet begins with subtracting from and adding to the Word of God. Did you hear that? Sin begins on this planet with adding to and subtracting from this book right here. We learn that in Genesis chapter 3. Also, that man's desire to be godlike or like God in knowledge is satanic. It comes from Satan. Then, as has been implied already, we are learning that Satan is a real force to be reckoned with. Satan is a very real force. So what we're going to look at in this chapter is we're going to try to understand the nature of man and the nature of salvation from Genesis chapter 3. Let's have a word of God, a word of prayer, and we'll dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us as we look at your word. Lord, it is so real. It's quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And Lord, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will pierce our hearts with the truth of your word today. Help us to understand the reality of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to understand that this is not just an allegory. This is not just some spiritual story with some heavenly meaning. This is actual history. It actually took place. We are seeing what happened when sin entered into this world. It's a very real thing. So I want to show you four things this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is a progression. There's a progression in Genesis chapter 3. It's a progression from doubt to death. From doubt to death. And I want you to understand something that's really important. Everybody doubts. You can doubt your own ability to accomplish something. You can doubt your wife or your husband's love for you. You can doubt your own purpose in the world. Sometimes you can doubt your salvation. You can even doubt the veracity or the truthfulness of God's Word. Doubt is a part of who we are now. But this progression, it begins in Genesis chapter 3 with Satan introducing doubt on God's Word. So it's a progression from doubt to death. So let's look at doubt. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This is Satan introducing doubt into what Jesus Christ or God the Father had said. Now look at what the Bible says. Look at in Genesis chapter 2. Here's what God said. Verse 15, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Now, I want you to notice from there that God ordained work before the fall. Work is not bad. Amen? Work is a good thing. I told one of the guys this morning that God gave man work as a gift so that he could have 8 hours away from his wife. Now, let's go on. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, you guys want to say amen, but you're not. Yeah, all right. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, that's the clear word of God. Amen? It's very clear. It's fifth grade English. Everybody can understand it. It's not a problem. But look at what Satan says. Verse 1 again of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want you to notice something about this attack. Satan's attack is purely positive. Look at what he says. It's purely positive. He says, Hath God said? And then the woman gives the answer, but then if you look at verse 4, And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's purely positive. He says, look, just go ahead and eat it. If you eat it, you're going to be like God. If you eat it, it's not going to be bad. Oh, come on. When people tell you that you shouldn't cheat on your wife, oh, that's just old Victorian England being imposed on us. Don't worry about it. It's okay to be a sodomite. It's perfectly natural. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. However you want to live, that's all. Let your conscience be your guide. It's all right. Whatever you choose to do, honey, it doesn't matter what your parents say. You can do whatever you want to do. She said her parents think otherwise. And her dad's really big, so I'm going to stop right there. See, here's the idea. That is the positive message of our culture. How could you spank that precious little thing? You're just so mean. If you spank your child, they'll grow up thinking violence is the solution to everything. No, they'll think that if they mess up, dad's going to whip their rear end. That's what they're going to think. And it's just interesting. It is just interesting how Satan began the doubt of God's Word with a purely positive message. It's all sunshine and rainbows and moonbeams. And that's the culture. You know, you watch TV and you have some television preacher that says, God wants you to be happy. And if you're happy, then God's happy. And if you're happy, then God's happy. And if God's happy, then we're all happy. Aren't you happy? And thousands of people come and buy books and listen to that. And they walk out saying, I feel so happy. And they're going straight to hell. Because it's like going to the doctor. And if you have cancer, and the doctor says, oh, cancer's not that bad. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Go play golf. You're going to die. You see, this idea of a purely positive message, it begins with Satan. Then, his questions caused her to doubt. His questions caused her to doubt. Did God really mean what he said? How do we know that this is really God's word? Oh, that's just your interpretation. I want to understand what other interpretation there could be of this. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, I want you to give me another interpretation of that. There is only one interpretation of it. And yet, how many of you have ever heard someone say, when you present the Word of God to them, "That's just your interpretation"? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, the Bible says that the Word of God is of no private interpretation. You're not allowed to have your interpretation. Let me tell you what this passage means to me. Doesn't matter what it means to you. What if you were never born? Does it then have no meaning? The issue is, what does the Bible mean to God? Do you know how you know what it means? By looking at the words. It's very simple. It means what it says. And what Satan did, he began his method of attack. And that's raising doubt. How can you know for sure? How can you know for sure? "But these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life." The Bible was written so that you can know that. You just think you're better than me because you think you're going to heaven. No, nope, I don't think I'm better than you. I think I'm saved. I think that I am born again. Jesus Christ has saved me, so I have knowledge. I know, I have confidence based on the Word of God. Satan wants to give you doubt. Jesus wants to give you confidence. Amen? God said it. We need to believe it. So, it begins with doubt, and then there's denial. Look at Genesis chapter 3 again, in verse 4. He begins with, "Hath God said?" And then verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Okay, let's not miss it. Chapter 2, verse 17. In my Bible, it's just right next to it. Verse 17 of chapter 2. The end of the verse, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Thou shalt surely die. God said, "Thou shalt surely die." Satan says, "Thou shalt not surely die." Do you see the knot there? The knot. That is Satan denying the Word of God. So whenever you meet someone who is denying the Word of God, they are agreeing with Satan. It's very simple. And that is not politically correct terminology in our culture anymore. Patrick Kennedy, when he was in seminary, just told me this morning, that he had a professor that got fired from the seminary who, when the Bible says that if all the things that Jesus did were written, the books of the world could not contain it, he said, "That's ridiculous that all the books of the world couldn't contain it." Well, God said all the books of the world couldn't contain it. So you know what that means? All the books of the world couldn't contain it. Amen? God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So what Satan does, this is the process. He causes you to doubt, and then he denies it. All right? Then, "Ye shall not surely die." Satan intends for doubt to lead to denial. And then delusion. Doubt, denial, and then delusion. People are deluded about what the Bible says. Look at what he promises them. Verse 5. "For God doth know." Do you see what he's doing? Here, let me tell you. Tori doesn't want you to know. You see, that's what God's doing? See, what they don't want, they're trying to hide this from you. God wasn't hiding anything from the people. He told them, "Look, if you do this, if you can eat anything that you want to in the garden. Just don't eat this one. If you do, you're going to die." Was there anything hidden in that? No. No. It's like in counseling. I'll be counseling people, and here's what I tell them when I start. I have no hidden agenda. If I say something to you, what I'm saying is what I mean. Don't think, "Well, he's just saying that because he's thinking." Can I tell you something? I'm not that smart. I'm not that sophisticated. I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking. God, when he wrote the Word of God, could do anything he wanted to, but he told you exactly what he wanted you to know. Amen? He denies it, and then he deludes them, and he says to them, "You're going to be like God." In the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods. Now, here's what's so amazing about that lie. This is what is so amazing about that lie. Keep your place here. Go to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14. The Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of it. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14. This is when Satan decided, Lucifer, decided that he was going to be like God. Look at what he says. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What happened to Satan? Look at chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Do you see what happened to him? Now, so let me ask you a question. Was Lucifer made like God? No. He couldn't make himself like God. How's he going to make you like a God? And this is what has happened. This is the delusion that Satan brings to the world. He tells people that you have the ability to determine what is right and wrong for you. Well, that's okay for you. That's all right for you, but I'm not going to live that way. See, this is something that our world has brought in. You see, Hessel, there's not your right and my right. If he says something's right and I say it's wrong, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. What is 2 plus 2 equal? Oh, you're just too dogmatic. In my world, for me, it's 5. Because I think it's just been 4 long enough. And I think that has limited the potential of way too many young people. I think that if they want to say that it's 5, what does it hurt? What harm is done? Do you understand that that's our culture? That is where we live. And Satan has introduced this delusion that we get to determine what's right from wrong. Here's how I know. Because when they eat of the fruit and death enters into the world, here's what people say. I just think it's silly that just eating a piece of fruit should cause all the trouble in the world. Do you know what that means? That means that you have passed judgment on the degrees of right and wrong. Do you know what you're doing? You're taking the place of God. God said, don't do it. If you do it, you will die. That's what God said. It's a delusion to think that you can be like gods. So, it goes from doubt to denial to delusion. And then we have disobedience. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So here's what happens. When you begin doubting the Word of God, then it's easy to deny the Word of God. Then you delude yourself that you can determine what's right from wrong, and then you just disobey God. You disobey God. Remember, any kind of disobedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You tell your child, hey, I want you to go sit down. And your child doesn't go sit down immediately. That is disobedience, and it must be punished immediately, because that's what God ordained. Amen? If they don't listen to Dad now, they won't listen to Dad, their Heavenly Father. Because you, Father, are the picture of the Father of the Heavenly Father for your children. Why should they listen to God if they don't listen to you? You see, God has established some very important things. Doubting the Word of God, denying the Word of God, it leads to disobedience. You don't have the right to say, well, I'm going to have my family structure the way that I choose to do it. You don't have the right to do that. God has ordained your home structure. Amen? For a reason. Because the home pictures the church. The home pictures the Trinity. The home pictures the Godhead. God has established order in the universe unless you're God, and you can reset the order any way that you want to. Leads to disobedience. I wrote this down. This disobedience, do you know that we have a part in this? The Bible says, "For as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So here's what you need to understand. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, you and I are all sinners. Now I'm going to say something that's real important right here. Don't miss this. We have this idea that the reason that we need forgiveness is because we sin. No, we need forgiveness because we are sinners. We sin because we're sinners. You know, it's like the little girl walking through the woods and she sees this snake, and the snake says to her, "I'm so cold. Will you put me in your pocket and take me through the woods?" And she says, "No, you're a snake. You'll bite me." "No, I promise. I won't bite you. I promise. I'm just so cold. Will you take me?" She says, "No, you're going to bite me." "No, I promise. I won't bite you." And so she says, "Well, you promised. I'm going to hold you to your word." So she picks up the snake, puts it in her pocket. Nice conversation with the snake all the way through the woods, gets to the other end of the woods, takes the snake out and says, "Here, have a nice day." And the snake bit her. And she said to him, "You promised you wouldn't bite me." He said, "I'm a snake. What did you expect?" See, we have this idea that we are sinners because we sin. No, the Bible says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." I am a sinner from birth, and I am a sinner by choice. And that all goes back to this original sin all the way back in the Garden of Eden. I have a part in this. It begins with doubt, and then denial, and then delusion, and then disobedience, and then death. And then death. Death. How many of you know somebody that's died? You all know somebody that's died? And can I promise you something? You're next. Pastor, this is so discouraging. There's good news coming. There's good news coming. But I promise you that Satan's plan, it takes you from doubt to death. And let me assure you of something. You can believe God's word. Man, we have all kinds of tools that can help you to understand that. We have that MAPS acronym. Why do I believe that the Bible is the absolute word of God and perfect? Because of manuscript evidence. There's more manuscript evidence to support the accuracy of God's word than any other ancient document in the world. Archaeological discoveries. You know, there's never been... You ever watch the History Channel? They always try and show something that disproves the Bible. You know what ends up happening? The Bible disproves the history. The Bible, archaeological discoveries, always support the Word of God. Always. Always. The P. Prophecies fulfilled. To have 8 of the prophecies of Jesus Christ fulfilled, the chances of that happening, just 8 of them, and there were more than 200 that he fulfilled, but just 8 of them, you could take the entire state of Texas, fill it up with silver dollars a foot deep, blindfold somebody, put an X on one of the silver dollars, spin them around and say, "Go pick it up." That's the chances of that happening. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. The prophecy is fulfilled. Then the law of statistical probability. Statistically, the chance of 1,400 authors, I'm sorry, the chance of 40 different authors writing over a period of 1,400 years a book and having no contradictions, perfect continuity. The law of statistical probability says that is impossible. This is a supernatural book. You can believe it. But I don't believe it because of those things. I believe it because God said it's true. Amen? Amen. So don't deny God's word. So the first thing that we see is a progression from doubt to death. The second thing I want you to see is a profession. A profession. There's a profession made here. And this profession leads from ignorance to immorality. Look what Eve said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Now, that's not what God told her. What did God say? It says in verse 16 of chapter 2. Look at verse 16 of chapter 2. "And the Lord God commanded them, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Of the trees? No, of all the trees. You can eat anything you want to, just not that one. So she's already She hasn't listened to what God said. Are you seeing that? You say, Pastor, it's just one word. Well, here's another word that she missed. Look at what it says, verse 2 again of chapter 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Look at what she left out, verse 16 of chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded every man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest, what's it say? Freely eat. Freely eat. It's free. This is what was left out. And this is so vitally important. I want you to, what was free? What could they have for free? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Look at what they could have. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All the way at the beginning of the Bible, life is free. Eternal life is free. Did you hear what I said? Eternal life is free. Satan wants you to think you have to earn it. Satan wants you to think that you have to work for it. Satan wants you to think that your religion and what you do religiously will give you eternal life. So Jesus Christ begins the Word of God with giving us life freely. I want you to see the end of the Bible. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 22 and verse... I'm sorry, Revelation 22. Y'all be old someday too. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And I want you to understand something. If you're disagreeing with anything that I'm saying right now, you're going to disagree with the Word of God. Say, Pastor, do you think you're sinless? Not at all. But if I read the Word of God correctly, what I say is what's coming out of the Bible, then you must agree with it. Amen? All right? So don't believe me. Believe the Word of God. Let's look at what this says. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit, see that's capitalized, so that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Who's the Bride? Us. Amen? The church. Those who are born again. Again, so let's start again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him taste the water of what? Life. And what does it cost? Freely. You see, Eve is the mother of every religion that adds works by taking away one word, freely. Freely. See, eternal life is a gift. Go to Romans chapter 5. And I want everyone to look at the Word of God. Like I said, it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what God says. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Romans 5, 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So what does all mean? All. So all men have been condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all. Isn't that an amazing thing? The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Justification, that's Christ's righteousness applied to you. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What was that? The what? The free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Look at verse 16. and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the, what kind of gift? Free gift is of many offenses unto justification. See, here's what you need to understand that's so desperately important. Because of Adam's sin, one sin, that judgment condemned every person that would ever be born. Because we were born in sin from that point on. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He made it possible for every man to be saved through a free gift. Through a free gift. So here's the idea. It's very simple. Dodie, I want to make a gift to you. I want to give this to you. What do you have to do to make that yours? Just receive it. Now, in order to keep it, you got to wash my car every week for the next 5 years. Why'd you give it back? Because it's work. Is it free if you've got to do something for it? No. How many of you ever noticed that on a commercial? Hey, you'll get this free thing, only pay shipping and handling. And you look it up, and shipping and handling is $99.95. Right? Is it really free?
No.
No. You see, if you have to do something for it, it's not free. Life, eternal life is free. The only way that you can receive eternal life is by receiving that gift of Jesus Christ's righteousness. If you try and do it for yourself, that's work. And it will not work. You can't work for a gift. The other thing that I want you to see about Eve, her ignorance, her carelessness with the Bible must have really encouraged Satan. You know what Satan was saying as he's talking to Eve? Oh, this is going to be easy. This is going to be great. It's like a salesman, you know, who is a dishonest salesman, and he gets a person that's just not that bright. Do you know what that salesman starts doing? Sharpening their pencil. Oh, yeah. I've got this. You really do need those solar panels. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you following what I'm saying? They're going to, you know, selling an anchor to a drowning man. Selling ice cubes to Eskimos. There are people that will buy those things. Is that right? Satan, when she did not know the Word of God the way that she should, that gave him the in. Now, the other thing that I want you to get is this. Don't miss this. There's no way that Eve could compete with Satan's wisdom. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 28 that he was, when he was created, he was full of wisdom. The only creature in the world that is more intelligent than Satan is God. I want you to understand that. So if you think that you can compete with Satan, you are grossly mistaken. If you try and debate with Satan, you're not going to do it. You're going to lose because he's going to make you sound foolish. How many of you have gotten a debate with somebody and you knew you were right? But they turned you inside out. Has that ever happened? Yeah. Yeah. Just because they're a better debater than you doesn't mean they're right. That's why the Bible tells us the debate is foolish. We don't debate the Word of God. We declare the Word of God. Here's what it says. You can believe it or whatever. That's up to you. Now, I want you to see. She couldn't compete with Satan, but she didn't have to. All she had to do was believe God's Word. All she had to do when Satan said, "Hath God said, you shall not eat?" Yes, that's exactly what he said. We're not supposed to eat. We can eat of every tree of the garden, but if we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we'll surely die. That's what God said. Well, did he really mean that? Well, he said, if she had just said what God said, do you understand that sin would not have entered into the world? Do you understand that? Do you know what you need to do? You need to say, when temptation comes into your life, when trouble comes into your life, you know what you need to say? What does God say about it? What does God say about it? If you will just submit to the Word of God, all will be well. But when you start that process of doubt, denial, delusion, disobedience, it leads to death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what Jesus Christ said. Now, there's something else about this tree of knowledge Bob Jones Sr. said it this way. He said, education without salvation equals damnation. Do you understand that there are some really intelligent people that are going to go to hell? The Bible says you must be born again. You must be born again. If you're not born again, I don't care how much you know about the Bible. You could have this entire word memorized. I want you to see something. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then look at what it says. When he quotes it, ye shall not surely die. You need to understand something. Satan quoted God better than Eve did. Satan knew God's word better than Eve did. Can I tell you something? Satan knows God's word better than you do. You could memorize. Do you understand the Pharisees that rejected Jesus Christ had the entire Old Testament memorized? They knew it. They knew it by heart. They could go to every point and know it by heart. Knowledge without being born again will take you to hell. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Verse 7. Remember what's happened? The church there at Jerusalem is growing. And really the work that needed to be done was too much for the disciples to do, for the apostles to do. So they call out deacons. The people do what they're told to with the deacons. And look at what happens in verse 7. And when the word of God, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Religious people had to get saved. Do you see that? Religious people had to get saved. It doesn't matter how much you know about God if you don't know God. It doesn't matter how much you know about the Word of God if you've never received Jesus Christ, the Word of God, into your heart. You must believe Him by faith. So, you have a progression from doubt to death. You have a profession from ignorance to immorality. And then I want you to see a prosecution. A prosecution. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now I want you to see something. We talked about this progression, and here's what we do with this progression. And I promise you there are people that are in this room right now in this progression. I promise you. Because this is the state of man. It begins with doubt, then denial, and then delusion. I can make my own decisions, and then disobedience. You're just going to live the way that you want to. Then here you are today. Right now, you're being confronted with the Word of God. The Bible says you must be born again. That's what the Bible says. You must be born again. That's what it says. If you're not born again, you're living in disobedience. The Bible says, he that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That's what the Bible says. It's so simple. It's so simple. But here's what we do. We doubt. We deny. We delude ourselves that we can make our own decisions. We disobey. And then here we are being confronted with the Scriptures. And now we deflect. We deflect. Oh, well, I know somebody that claims to be a Christian and they cheat on their wife. I know somebody that claims to be a Christian. You ought to see the temper that they have. I know somebody that claims to be born again and you ought to see the way that they live. I would, you know what Gandhi said? I would be a Christian if not for Christians. Well, you know what? He's in hell right now. I wonder how he feels about that. pastor, do you have to be so mean? I'm not. I want you to understand, if you do not submit to Jesus Christ for eternal life, you are under His condemnation. I don't care how often you pray to Him. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how much knowledge you have. If you do not receive His free gift of eternal life, confessing your own inability through sin to be good enough to go to heaven, if you do not do that, you are going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. It starts all the way here in Genesis chapter 3. When confronted with their sin, oh, it's her fault. Oh, well, my pastor says, well, if your pastor told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it? Anybody ever heard that? Well, Johnny's going to do it. Well, if Johnny jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Well, yeah, probably. Right? That's what kids do. And it's amazing how we never outgrow that thinking. See, it doesn't matter what any religious leader tells you. If it goes against the Word of God, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says there's only two kinds of people in the world. It says it in 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Remember, doesn't matter. Let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter what someone else has taught you. All we're doing is reading the words of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Then it tells us there's only two kinds of people in the world. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know that you have eternal life? If you died today, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Well, if you receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ is offering you by confessing your sin, you can have it. So we've looked at a progression. We've looked at a profession. Now we look at a prosecution. Man, death is the decree. But now I want you to see a provision. Genesis chapter 3, a provision. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 15. If you look at verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I want you to see what God is promising here. This is His provision. He's going to put enmity. There's going to be a war between Satan and the woman and her seed. This is the prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You know that women don't have seed. The seed comes from the man. This is the prophecy of the virgin birth. God is saying that He is going to provide a lamb. Amen? He is going to provide a provision. And from this point on, there is a war between God's seed and Satan. And that follows all the way through the Scriptures. And we'll be studying that in the future. But now I want you to see verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You see, sin always brings death. Sin always brings death. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, do you know what's happening? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that we are buried with Christ in death and that we're raised to walk with Him in newness of life. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am associating with the death of Jesus Christ, and then I am covered with Jesus Christ's righteousness, just like Adam and Eve. There was the death, and I believe it was a lamb. There was a death, and then there was a covering. Can I promise you something? All of us deserve death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, really bad people, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All of us deserve death. You need to understand that that is the teaching of Genesis chapter 3. But Jesus Christ provided a provision for us by dying on the cross. He died for us. He died for us. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. He proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you glad Jesus died for you? Don't waste that sacrifice. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ alone for your eternal life, if you think that your baptism can take you to heaven, you're lost. You're lost. If you think that your church is going to take you to heaven, there's going to be a lot of Baptists in hell. Well, I went to church. Going to church doesn't take you to heaven. Amen? There are going to be Methodists in hell. There are going to be Catholics in hell. There are going to be Presbyterians in hell. There are going to be Baptists in hell. Why? Because religion never saves anyone. Only Jesus Christ can save you. I'm not trying to change your religion. I want you to believe what God says. God says it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you. He rose from the dead, proving that He could conquer sin and be your Savior. And you believe that. You know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you still think that you got to do something else. You got to be good. Well, the Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible in 1 John says, if any man says he hath no sin, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Your only hope of eternal life is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your only hope for salvation. If you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're believing the lie of Satan, along with the ignorance of Eve, that led to the destruction of mankind. You see, there's a progression from doubt to death. It's very real. There's a profession from ignorance to immorality. She didn't know what God had said. There's a prosecution. She had a calling, but now there's a curse. But there's a provision. There's a provision from death to deliverance. He wants to deliver you. He wants you to be born again. That's why Genesis chapter 3 is the most important chapter in the Bible. You need to know the foundation of why we do everything that we do. If you have a religion that denies what we just said, it's denying the clear teaching of the Word of God. This isn't about religion. This is about your eternal life. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal life? If you haven't, the Bible says you are condemned already. You don't have to wait until you die to be condemned. You're condemned right now. You're under the executioner's axe. And you're not promised another breath. The Bible says, what is life? It's but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure that if you died today, He's going to take you to heaven? I hope that you are. If you're not, we can take the Word of God and show you. Don't let pride keep you from going to heaven. You say, man, this is my first time in a church like this, hellfire and brimstone. Man, we just love you. We just love you. If the bridge was out, I'd jump in front of your car to stop you from going over. Hell is real. Heaven is real. God's Word is true. Believe it. Here's what I know. Your mind right now might be doubting. But I promise you that if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's what I know is happening right now. The Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door. And you know in your spirit that what I'm telling you is true. You know. You know. Submit to it today. It'll be the greatest day of your life. Dear Heavenly Father.